Today is the next in our morning midrash series, and we're going to be looking at Yosef. And in looking at Yosef, we're going to look at two aspects of his life, what brought him down to Egypt, and the end of his life. Okay, so if you want to begin with me, we're on page 204. Page 204. Okay. 204. So the Torah tells us the following. It's the middle of page 204. It's Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chavav, 37:26. This is in the middle of the discussion that the brothers are having. They've already thrown him into the pit, and this is after the suggestion had been made to kill him, and Reuven said, no, we'll throw him in a pit. And what Reuven's plan was is a topic of a different discussion. But Yehuda says, what do we gain? Ma betza, what's the value of killing him? Ki narog zechim v'chisinu esamo, and covering up his blood. L'chuvenim karenu l'yishmaelim. Okay, because in the previous pasuk it mentioned that there's a Yishmaelite caravan going down to Egypt. V'yadeinu al tibo, and our hands will not be on him. Ki achinu v'sarenuhu, because he is our brother and our flesh. V'yishmu echav. Now it's interesting, who is achinu v'sarenu? Is it Yosef? Or is it Yishmaelim? Which is, I've seen some commentaries go saying that Yishmaelim, they're our cousins, right? They'll take care of him, right? We don't have to worry that they're going to kill him on the way. They'll get him to where he needs to go. Then here comes the next pasuk, and this is
a little preamble. How did they necessarily know that they were Yishmaelim? Did they have this thing to
do out? Ms. Tom, I'm assuming that they did. That they had, that there was something which, you know, I mean, I'm sure there was a time when if you saw a certain type of caravan, you go, oh, gypsy. You know, I mean, you know,
right.
there's a way to know that. Okay, and besides, if indeed they didn't cut all ties from their cousins, and remember, they, you know, they're cousins, and they've been living in the land for now almost 10 years. Okay, but Yosef is 17. When they came here, Yosef was 8. So even though they were away for a while, the fact of the matter is that they've been in the land for a little while. So, if all ties have not been cut off, which I mean, again we don't know, but if all ties have not been cut off, then they might know who they are. Anyway, the pasuk then tells us pasuk chavchaz vayavru anashim midyanim socharim. Then Midianite merchants pass by vayim shechu and they pull out vayalu es Yosef ben Abor and they raise Yosef up from the pit. And they sold Yosef to the Yishmaelites, 20 silver pieces. And they brought Yosef to Egypt.
So what did the Midyanim have to do with all of this?
Ah, okay. So what the Torah is telling us is that there are Midianite merchants who are involved in some way. Okay, now if you read the actual pasuk, who sold Yosef?
It doesn't say.
Well, I'll tell you who it doesn't say for sure. It doesn't say the brothers. Okay? The subject matter of the pasuk changes. The brothers just had this conversation. Right? They're not exactly right next to the pit. They left from the pit. Right? If you go back to pasuk Hafei, right? They raise their eyes and they see these the Yishmaelim coming. And they're not near him, because if they're near him, let's say Yosef's in the pit right here, and let's say it's relatively drawn to scale. Here's the pit, okay? And here's the brothers eating lunch, okay? What's going on here? Guys, let me out! Guys, come on, enough already, right? Come on, joke's over, ha ha ha, let me out. They don't want to hear that. So they put him in the pit, and they go over there. So they don't have to hear him screaming. In the meantime, and somebody else comes along, hears him screaming, hey, let me out, let me out, let me out. And then, wait a second, who are these guys? Okay, so the pasuk changes the subject. Right, in other words, if the Midianites aren't doing anything, then why are they even mentioned? Okay? Is that the doorbell? Or is that somebody's phone? Right, exactly. That's the way the pasuk. And not only that, if you look at the last pasuk on the turn to the next page, last pasuk in the paragraph, pasuk lamed vav, So we have Midianites, we have Yishmaelim, and you have Midianites. Okay, what's the difference between Midianites and Midianites?
I don't know.
Okay, the answer is that Abraham had six sons from Keturah. One of them's name was Midian, and one of them's name was Midan.
Ah, right.
Okay,
right.
So you can look that up. It's in the end of Parshas Chayesara.
Right.
And that's the difference. So who are all these people? They're all cousins, because they're all from Abraham's family, and they're all somehow involved. Okay? So the point simply is that Pasuk Chavchaz, which talks about the Midianim, leaves certainly open the possibility that the brothers were not involved at all. Right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says there, look, it's the bottom left column, four lines to the bottom. He says, this is another caravan. Showing you that Yosef was sold several times. Rashi throws in the words Bnei Yaakov, that it was the sons of Yaakov who threw him in. Pulled them out, rather. And they sold to the Ishmaelim, and Mishmaelim la Midyanim, and Midyanim achru sold to Mitzrayim. Okay, Rashi ignores the Midyanim. Okay,
so
over here.
Out of order according to Rashi, because the Midyanim comes first.
Correct. Okay. All right. So let's take a look at the Midrash now. Okay. So Bamidbar Rabbah. Parsha Yud Gimel, Vayomer Revi'i. So I don't know why it's in that. Why this is over there? But I'll be sure the Shvatim Shabali Day Mechiras Yosef. Atzavur Shaloi about Liyadam Osa Ma'aseh Elim Keno Yerushalim Ma'aseh Be'Ma'aseh Machirim. Right. That the idea that they would sell their brother is so evil that the only way that could happen is if they're really wicked in other areas. Ella Tzadikin Gemurim Hayu V'lo Ba Liyadam Chet Me'Olam. Okay, so the fact of the matter is, they were righteous people. Now, we have a problem with the way that they treat Yosef, in general, right? There seems to be a brotherly strife at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. Right, so when they're standing in front of Yosef, when Yosef is a king in Egypt, what happens is they say, you know, we're guilty over what happened to our brother. We saw his suffering, we heard his cries, and we didn't do anything about it. Because they were thinking, why would we fall under the, you know, the way Egypt is treating us? Because they were thinking the only thing that we did wrong was that when our brother was screaming, we ignored him. And through their describing their guilt, the Torah is also describing their praise. Shelo hayubi adam avon. And if you actually want to look at that pasuk, it's in Membeis, right? It's actually a good idea to see. They're trying to figure out, why is this happening? Why is Yosef Yosef treating them this way? They talk to them. Top of page 236. Okay? When Yosef has just told them that you're going to bring your youngest brother to me, and in the meantime, I'm going to give you food, after he's put them in prison for a few days. Top page 236, Perek Membeis, Pasuk Chaval, 42-21. But we are guilty over our brother, Asher Ha'inu, that we saw, Tzaras Nafsho, the pain of his soul, Bishanu Eleinu, when he was basically pleading with us what? Not to kill him, not to throw him into the pit. V'lo shamanu, and we didn't listen to him. Or maybe he was in the pit with his chanano aleinu. Guys, let me out of here. Guys, come on. Alkein ba'aleinu atzarazos, and that's why it's happening. And they don't say anything about selling him. As a matter of fact, in our original passage we were looking at, when Reuben comes back to the pit, and he says to the brothers, Yosef einenu va'ani ano aniva, that Yosef is gone, and what's going to be with me? Because I was supposed to bring him back. Okay? What page is it? Back on 204, 205? Right? Right. He sees Yosef is not in the pit. Right? He cries, pick a dove. So the theory is that the brother's like, okay, we're going to sell him to Yishmaelim. Who's going to get him? And Reuben's like, I got it. Okay, I got it, guys. I'll go get him. Okay, and his plan is, no sale. I'm going to get him out. And, you know, boom. He comes back to the pit, finds that Yosef's not there, and he comes back to his brothers. Guys, where is he? Okay, and they don't say, they don't say, hey, Reuben, listen, man, we took care of it. They don't do that. They say, well, they don't say anything. They just take a goat and they try to hide whatever happened. Because they assume whatever they assume. I don't even know what they assume. So back in the Midrash, Lefisha Bechiras Yosef Zchus Hayelosh, Yigarma Lo Limloch, and because the sale of Yosef ended up being a merit, because it caused him to be able to become a king, Uzchus Hayesel Lechav, L'chol Beis Aviv, Shil Kilkolam B'lechem, Mishnei Ravon, Kach Nimkar Al Yadam, Shemigaglin Zchus Al Yadei Zakai. So he's saying that his being sold Al Yadam, what is Al Yadam? Does it mean that they literally sold him? It's not clear. But he's saying that the sale was actually a merit, no matter how you want to view the sale, in terms of who sold him, it was a merit. And as we're soon going to see, and I mean, I'll cut to the chase in just a second. If you turn over the page and look at Rabbeinu Bachaye, the very last comment before we see the burial, the word that says burial, but the part which is in bold. The Asar Rugi Malchus, that's the 10 martyrs which we read about on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. So the premise is set up, even though it's fiction, the way that it's presented, because the 10 rabbis did not live at the same time, but it's presented as a Roman, the Roman authority is saying there haven't been 10 rabbis like you, 10 great tzaddikim like you in a very long time, since the time of the sale of Yosef, and since they asked the rabbis, what happens if somebody sells a brother to slavery? Oh, die. So they said, oh, well, that's what the brothers did, so you have to pay. You have to pay for that. So that's the excuse for killing the 10 rabbis. But the argument can be made the brothers actually didn't do it. That's what we've been looking at. So he says, the Reina Bechaya says, that they were the cause for it. Because if they hadn't thrown Yosef in the pit, and if they had just protected him and treated him and said, everything's good, go home, then he would not have been kidding. The fact that he was thrown in the pit gave an opening to Midianites to say, random person, slave, why not? We'll make some money on it. Midrash Tanchuma, back in our source sheet here, says, "Am Rabbi Simlai Beruven Ksiv L'Mani Atzilas Am Yadam Harei Atalameid Shaloya B'Mechiras Yosef." Okay, that Yehuda was not in at the sale of Yosef. Av Yehuda Amar Lahen, Mabet Zakina Arog. Yehuda said, "What do we gain out of killing him?" Rabba Elu Hayu Gedolim Nimtzeis Lamad Shishimon V'Levi Mecharuhu Shemeshash Yardul Mitzrayim Nasin Yosef Ena B'Shimon. So here the argument is made that it's not everybody, but it's Shimon and Levi who sold him, and that's why Yosef intended to separate Shimon and Levi. And that's why Yaakov seems to pin the blame on it. Now, it's an interesting question, which we're not going to get into now, as to how much Yaakov knew about all of this when it came to, towards the end of his life, when he is talking to the brothers and the different things which he says and the things which they claim that he said after they come back from the burial, where they tell Yosef, our father told us that you should not take any vengeance against us, and Yosef starts to cry. So the question is, did the father really say that, or did they lie? Did they make up the story? And it's pretty compelling that it was B. Of course, it is possible that Yaakov told him it and Yosef wouldn't know, but I don't know. It seems a little unlikely, but, anything is possible. Okay, we're not going to read through all these commentaries, but essentially, the Chizkuni and the Rashbam, if you look on the side where it says others, okay, and Rabbeinu Bechaye, all give the indication that those, the Chizkuni is very long. So let's turn it over for a second. Turn over the page. We'll look at Rashbam. He says the same thing as the Chizkuni, but I just wanted to, but we don't have the time to go through the Chizkuni. But let's look at the Rashbam. By everyone Hashem Adyanim, V'sog Shal Yoshim L'Achol Lechem Rechokim Ayuksas Min Abor, L'Vilti Achol Al Adam, right? And this is the way I described it, that they are sitting away, they don't want to hear him crying, screaming, and they don't want to be eating Al Adam, so to speak, because who knows what's going to happen to him inside that pit. Maybe an animal will bite him. Umam Tinim, they're waiting. Hayu L'Ishmaelim, So they were waiting for the Ishmaelim to come. Before the Ishmaelim showed up, Midianim passed by, Derech Sham, that way, and they saw him in the pit. presumably they hurt him. Umashchuhu, and they pulled him out. Machru Midyanim leYishmaelim, and they're the ones who sold him to the Yishmaelim. V'yesh lo marsha achim lo yadu, and there are those, and it's therefore reasonable to say the brothers didn't even know about it. V'af al pi shekasuv asher mechartem osim mitzrayma, when Yosef reveals himself to his brothers in Parshas Vayigash, he says to them, I'm Yosef, your brother, asher mechartem osim mitzrayma, you sold me to Egypt. Yesh lomar shehagramas maaseyim siya b'mechira, so that it was the cause of their deeds which helped for him to get sold. But that they actually made that financial exchange, Rashbam says, didn't happen. Zener li lefi omek derek pshuto shel mikra. This is the way it seems to me, pretty clearly from the depth of the understanding of pshat, and its simple understanding of the text. Ki va'yavru anashim midyanim mashma aydei mikra vehem macharu leishmelim. That it just happened to be that Midianites passed by at that moment, and they're the ones who sold them to Yishmelim. V'yavim ba'asa lomar v'yimkaruus Yosef leishmelim ki echav micharu. And even if you're going to say that those who sold Yosef to the Ishmaelim were his brothers, you still have to explain what the Midianites are doing there. He still said, the Rashbam says, even if you want to say the brothers actually did the sale, you have to say that the Midianites are the ones who took him out of the pit, and they're the ones who were basically the brokers for the sale. Okay, the Midianites are significantly involved in this story, because the verbs are just following what the subject has changed to. Okay, now we saw Rashi. Rashi was very clear in saying that it was the brothers who did it. I brought you Rashi here. I gave you Targum Yonatan. Let's read through the Sephorno. Okay, Sephorno. Bottom left. Midyanim Socharim. It says, Bali Schores Gmali. Gmalei Yishmaelim, rather. They're the ones who are involved in, I guess, the merchanting of the camels of the Yishmaelim. Vayim Kris Yosef Yishmaelim, La Yishmaelim Asu Esamecher, Ba'ad HaMidyanim. They did the sale to the Yishmaelim on behalf of the Midyanim Asocharim. Okay? So what does that mean? It means that the brothers were the, what he's saying is that the brothers were the brokers for the sale on behalf of the Midyanim. What does that mean? Maybe the Midianim and the Yishmaelim didn't speak the same language, and somehow the brothers were able to. And once they realized when they showed up that the Midianim already had Yosef, and that they wanted to sell him, they just maybe couldn't communicate. I don't know. So they said, "All right, we'll broker this deal." And they did not want the merchants to recognize them, because they may come back to their place and cities where they live. So they spoke, rather than with the socharim, the merchants, who they may meet again, they spoke to the balei agmalim, to the nomads, who don't ever stick around very long. They just go and they travel on the highway. And it was through them that they did the sale. See, he also just doesn't distinguish between Midyanim and Midanim. But anyway, he says that it was through them, so they spoke to the Yishmaelim. And the Yishmaelim, on the brothers' behalf, purchased Yosef from the Midyanim. Okay. So he gives an example of a similar kind of thing happening in later time when people were, you know, basically traitors to their own brethren when it came to selling them down the river in order to save their own hides. So that's these are the two views that we have when it comes to the sale of Yosef. Is it the brothers who sold him directly? Is it the brothers who sold him indirectly? Or did the brothers miss it completely? Okay? And the answer is? We don't know.
Well, okay. What do you do with that medrash that says that there were snakes, poisonous snakes in the pit and everything?
I mean, that's Rashi says. Abor reik ein b'mayim, the pit was empty, no water, but it had nechashim and akravim.
So they did want to kill him. I mean, they didn't know that nothing would happen to him.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You know, Yehuda says, "Mabet sakin aroga sakinu," but they weren't actively trying to kill him. It was a passive kind of thing. Like if it, but was it in fact the case that Nechashim and Anakrovim were in there?
You know, saying,
what does that mean?
We just know anger and mayim.
Right.
We don't know.
And is it a metaphor? Is it teaching us something else? Again, same thing. We don't know. Uh-huh. You know, I mean, Rashi says Nechashim and Anakrovim. And it's a nice chat. And I once saw somebody pointed out, which is, you know, kind of silly, but Habor Reik Ein Bo Mayim. And what's the next trup? Vayeshavu Lechol Lechem Ein Bo Mayim Vayeshavu. You know, it's the trup on Vayeshavu. It's a zarka. What does a zarka look like? No, a zarka is like an S sideways.
All right. Right.
But it looks like a snake.
Good one.
You like that one? Borek ein b'mayim v'yeshavu zarka snake lechol lechem. All right. Anyway, right. It's, you know, it's cute, but again, it boils down to the same thing. The pasuk is vague. It tells us about Midianim. It tells us about Yishmaelim, and later on, it tells us about Midianim. There are a lot of people involved here. But who took him out of the pit and who actually sold him and on whose behalf? These are questions which people can give answers to. But the fact of the matter is, if you have so many different people giving different approaches, then in the end we have to assume or conclude that we just don't know. We just don't know. So if you know a little bit about the topography of the land of Israel, you know that in trade route, I don't know exactly where it is, but there was an ancient trade route. Maybe it went around the Kinneret and then through the Galil and then down the, you know, Gaza coast, you know, the coastal plain, Tel Aviv, all the way down there. So that was an ancient trade route, and of course to go from Mesopotamia to Egypt, that was an important route that people would take, and that's why Israel is so strategic. You know, it's kind of funny because when the Ottomans were there, and we know this from Mark Twain's diary about like seeing nobody when he went to the Holy Land. I don't know how much trade was being done in that way anymore. There were trains. I mean, it was being done in that way, but it wasn't like it was only Egypt, because Europe had become a thing, right? And Eastern Europe had become a thing. So you didn't need Egypt in the 1800s in the same way that you needed Egypt in the, you know, in the 1000 BCE. So for anybody to be going up and down the coast to get to Egypt, you know, that's a normal trade route, right? I mean, how many times did Avraham make that trip, and Yaakov make that trip, and Yosef, the brothers make that trip? Making that trip, it's a common trail. I don't know if it's marked like JNF, but you know, but people knew that.
But we talked about in some of these where either they acted as brokers or they're the ones who brought them out. But having them at the end of the journey, so to speak,
the Midianim, right?
Whether it's Midianim or Midianim, you know, the other son of Keturim. It doesn't matter. But I'm just trying to visualize what they say in terms of their participation.
No, so I think that basically what they're saying is that the Yishmaelim were the transferers. They're the travelers. They're the ones who are on the Gemalim, the camels. And then you get there, when you get to Egypt, so, you know, maybe there's a flea market right outside and a slave market right outside Egypt. And so he gets sold. And the Midianim are the ones who sell him to Potiphar. Oh. It's not so crazy, you know, but the Yishmaelim brought him down. So, you know, on the Egypt end, the people who are involved are the Ishmaelim and Midianite merchants who happen to be there. What do they know from Yosef? It doesn't matter, right? Okay, so that's the first thing I want to look at. The second question I want to look at is the question of Yosef's burial. Okay, and it's really just, there are a couple of hints, but it's really the last pasuk in the book of Bereishis. But we'll look at a couple of things just immediately beforehand. Okay? Okay, so it's page 288. starting with Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Yosef says to his brothers, 24, Vayomer Yosef el Achav, Anochi Meis. Yosef says to his brothers, I am dead. Now, of course, it doesn't mean I'm dead. It means I'm just about dead. Okay? Bo Elohim, I'm sorry, Ve Elohim, Pavkod Yivkod Eschem, and God should one day redeem you, Ve Eloh Eschem, and take you up, Mina Aretz Hazos, from this land, El Aretz Hashem Nishba'al Avram Yitzchak Vel Yaakov, to the land that was promised to Avram, to Yitzchak, and to Yaakov. Vayashba Yosef is B'nai Yisrael. Vayashba means he made them swear, saying, Pakod Yivkod Elohim Eschem, Vali Semas Atzmos Amizeh. Well, the Pakod Yivkod Elohim Eschem, he already said that God will redeem you, Vali Semas Atzmosai, but he's making them swear that you will take my bones from this. At the time when God remembers you, excuse me, and redeems you. Vayamas Yosef, Yosef dies, Meme Abba Esar Shanim, 110 years old. Vayachan Tu Oso, and they embalmed him, the Torah does not give us a whole lot of detail because they just recently told us what that meant for Yaakov, even though it didn't give us so much detail, just told us that it took a long time, 30 days, 40 days. Vayisem ba'aron b'mitzrayim. And he was placed in a box in Egypt. Okay? That's what we're told about Yosef. Where was Yosef buried? The Torah says that he was placed in a box in Egypt. Okay? That's the information we have. What does Rashi say? Vayisem ba'aron b'mitzrayim. Rashi says nothing.
Nothing.
Come on, Rashi. Nothing. Okay. Where does Rashi tell us where Yosef? Probably in Parshas Bishalach. Bishalach. When Moshe is looking for Yosef. Vayikach Moshe. As that's most Yosef Imo. Imo, does he say something there? Pasuk Yitas. He talks about it, but he does not say how he found it. Okay, all right. So we'll leave that for what it is. The main the main question is, where was Yosef's body placed?
But before we go to that, why is it that he said Pakod Yivkod Eschem? At that time, they were having
things were okay.
Wasn't okay. Why would he think?
I think that there was a recognition. I mean, if you look in Parshas Vayigash, when Yaakov goes down, Yaakov is afraid. And the question is, what's Yaakov afraid of? He's going down to see Yosef. He's going down to be taken care of. The answer is that Yaakov was afraid that this is the destination for the 400 years promised to Abraham. So Yosef says, look, we're here and it's good now. What was Yaakov? Your children will be strangers. Beretz Lolahem, in a strange land. And that's not so bad to be ger, right? Avram was a ger v'toshav. It's not so bad to be a ger in a strange land. V'avadum v'inu osam. So there are stages that they're going to enslave them and they're going to make them suffer. That was the promise. So they can be strangers. That's fine. But eventually it's going to happen. So Yosef saw that it was going to happen. In his lifetime, it couldn't happen. But when he's gone, it's very easy for the Egyptians to say to Yosef after he's dead, what have you done for me lately? And if one of the views which we're going to be seeing about where Yosef was buried is correct, then even though they can answer the question to what has Yosef done for me lately, because they can't see him, then it's easy to forget. Right? Yeah. So let's take a look. These are the two possibilities. Burial. The Mechilta Rabbi Yishmael Parshas Peshalach says, Rabbi Nassan Omer, Bekipu Solon, Bekipu Solin, basically, it says that Yosef was buried in a crypt, which is not so crazy, right? They're still doing archaeological digs. I just saw a story this week that they found a body-shaped mummy coffin, something or other, in Egypt just this week, and there were three bodies inside. They're trying to figure out who they were, and they had been one of them had an arrow in him, so they kind of figured he was killed in some capacity. Anyway, so a crypt. What's another possibility? Okay. Vayisem ba'aron, the Midrash Sechel Tov and Bereishis Perek Nun. So I skipped to the end of the second line. Now I'm in the third line. B'shnei yudin k'siv, that the word vayisem is spelled with two yuds. Melameid shehu atzmo siyo linasein ba'aron, that he was helpful in making sure that he gets put into a box. U'ma'asenei, and it was a way of miracles. Shederach achai l'sayes atzmo v'lo ames, because it's the way of the living to help himself and not the dead. So what's he suggesting? That Yosef basically stood up and walked into his sarcophagus? I mean, I don't know. B'mitzrayim asu lo aron shel matchos, they made him a coffin out of metals. V'shaka'u b'nahar nilus, and they hid him in the Nile River. K'dei shelo yedu bo amitzrim v'yasu l'aloha. So who is he saying put him in the Nile? His family, so that the Egyptians would not be able to find him and worship him. Okay? Now, that's one view. Now, let's take a look at the Dvarim Rabbah, okay? On the next page, on page 3. Lama Zoch Moshe, Dvarim Rabbah, Perek Yidalf. Lama Barsh Yidalf. Lama Zoch Moshe, Shekash Baruch Hu, Sassi Gimau, El B'Shah, Shiyar, the Mitzrayim, Megiyah, Gulas, and Shekash, Shokal, 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 Shokal. The reason why God deals with burying Moshe directly is because at the time when the Bnei Yisrael were getting ready to leave, Moshe is dealing with trying to find Yosef's body. Okay? Yosef's coffin. Shelo ayu yichol notzeis mitzrayim chutz miYosef. They could not leave Egypt without Yosef, because that was a promise that Yosef made his brothers. Lamash kach nishba lam b'shvul z'nei mal. Right? That's what I just said. Okay? So you can skip two lines, middle of the line. Pagu boskula v'rasa Moshe shu ayef min ha'yegia. Amru lo Adoni Moshe lama ta'yef. So somebody bumped into Yosef and said, "Hey, what's going on? Why are you so tired?" And he says, "Gimel yom gimel leil sevakti esegir. 3 days and nights I'm walking around the city. L'mtzaron ol shel Yosef, to try to find Yosef's body. V'en ani motzei oso, but I can't. Amru lo boi mi ve'erech hechanu. She said to him, come with me, and I will show you who it is. Okay, now some say this was Sarah was Asher. Anyway, Halicha Osel Nachal, she brought him to the river. Amrlo, she said to him, "Makom Hazeh Asu Aron Shel Tufkav Kikarim," that in this spot they made a coffin of 500 talents. Mishlichu B'socha Nachal HaChartumim VeAshafim, and the magicians, and I don't know what the Ashafim are, but they, maybe it's priests, I don't know, they threw him in the river. And that's what they said to Paro. If you want that the Bnei Yisrael, this nation, will never leave, Yosef. If they can never find Yosef's bones, they will never be able to leave. Miad Amar Moshe al Sfas HaNachal. Moshe stood at the edge of the river. Amar Yosef, Yosef, atayadateh nishbat l'Yisrael. He says, "Do you remember, Yosef, the way that you made Bnei Yisrael swear, saying, 'Pakod Yikod al Himuschem, ten kvod al Israel,' give honor and glory to the God of Israel. V'al ta'akib gul son shal Yisrael. Ma'asim tovim yesh lechem. V'akish rachim lefnei boracha v'alim in atomos." And he made a prayer, and he said, "Yosef, lots of merits, give honor to God, and don't delay the Bnei Israel from leaving anymore. Seek out mercy from God. And rise. Miyad hiskel aron shel Yosef v'apeh v'olam en atomos. Yosef's aron floated to the top. Hikana echad, like a piece of straw. Lakach oso v'samos al ksefo, and he put it on his shoulder. V'yisobel oso v'chol Yisrael acharav Yisrael yisobel en sakesev v'zazahav. Everybody's carrying their silver and gold, and Yosef's and Moshe's carrying Yosef's coffin. Okay? So because of Moshe's effort, God says, "I'm going to take care of burying you." All right, that's in the place in the river approach. Look at the Rishis Rabati on the side. Vayachantu is Rabbi Nasan Omer, Chantu Kederach HaMalachim, Kavru B'Kapitulin Shem Mitzrayim Bein HaMalachim. You know, there's a place in Egypt called the Valley of Kings. Now, there's a new theory, by the way, that I saw in a video. I'm trying to remember if it was in that Patterns of Evidence or if it was in a different film that I saw, where they're just uncovering all these archaeological sites in Egypt. And they found a place that had 12 huts. And it was clearly a burial ground. And they found a statue in one of them. which did not look like a regular Egyptian. And they're arguing that maybe it was where Yosef was buried and where the brothers were all buried. Maybe that's where Yosef, in fact, was, because they went in there to look for any remains, and guess what they found?
Nothing.
Nothing. Which is fascinating. Again, I don't know. Who knows? But at the same time, what he is describing here in the Bereishis Rabbati is the Valley of Kings, which is where the kings of Egypt are buried. But there are those who say that he was placed in a metal coffin in the Nile. Originally, Yosef was buried in a field. Okay, and what happened? And the field was blessed when he was buried there. Guess what happened? When people saw that this field was blessed because Yosef was buried there, grave robbers, ganvu misham, and some of the coverings, they said, hey, let's put him in our field. So they did that. Nishmal Malchus, this is insane. Yosef is a king. He's stealing Yosef's body. Amru Chachmi Paro, Mitzrayim Eina Shosa El Bimei Nilus, the wise people, Paro's helpers, said, hold on a second. If Yosef's bringing bracha wherever he is, Egypt needs bracha in the Nile, right? The Nile is, it's the source of everything. So Kavros Abanilus, Nisparachus Chuso, and so they threw him in the river, and the river was blessed in his merit. And that's what I said, that's what I was hinting to before. When I said that if Egypt knew that Yosef brings bracha, so they threw him in the river so that they would know where he is. But of course, in time, that's going to be forgotten. Miyad Asalar and Shamatakas, Shakub and Ilus, Kadeshaliyab Alayam Rav, and so they threw him in the river so that he said there would never be a famine again. Rabbanan Amrin, Shash Sham Mitraim, Kakish Bia Yosef Lechav, Shaloyahu Alus Mitraim, Alachi Abu Iman, Amrachartim Alparos. This is where he says the same thing we saw before, which is that when they realized that Yosef had made this promise to his brothers that you will not leave without me, so they made it that that they would not be able to find him. And you see what it says? That was the same number that we saw, just the other one said it was tough kuf. 500 talents, which is very heavy, and they threw him in the river that way. And so, Kishro Yisrael Kain Amru Vaya in Anu Nigal in the Olam, Hauda Amar Vayisem. Vavei, I guess, Vayi Shehusam Ba'aron. So he says that's why there are two yuds, because it's indicating that he was placed in a way that he'd never come out. Right? Five. If people actually saw this, Yosef being put in a box that weighed 500 talents and thrown in a river, like they don't have hydraulics. I mean, how on earth are you ever going to get that out? And the answer is, you're not. Unless God brings him out, and Moshe somehow pulls off some incredible miracle. Okay, another midrash. Moshe Rabbah asks the question: how did Moshe, the first line, Moshe Yada Heichan Yosef? How did Moshe know where Yosef was buried? Sarach was Asher. Okay, and so he also mentions the different ideas which we've seen: either that he was buried in some fields, or that he was buried in the river. But the main thing is that Yosef's remains needed to turn over the page. Now we get to the commentaries. I know this is a class on Midrash, but I wanted you to see the different views that are put out there. We saw in our Chumash that Rashi doesn't say anything. Okay, so crypt or something else. Rashbam says Knigbar ba'aron. He was put in a coffin. So they needed to take this thing, so they needed to be prepared and ready to go. But the Rashbam doesn't say where he was buried. He says, Nikbar ba'aron, but doesn't say anything else. That's what the Torah said. Vayisem ba'aron v'mitzrayim, in a box. Chizkuni says, Avalo nikbar, shari yasidin hayu la'aloso. Says he was put in a box, but he was not buried. Okay, now there's basically, maybe you had a shrine somewhere, or you had a place where, here's Yosef's mummified remains, because we know that the Pasuk says, Vayachantu Oso, and it's there. When it's time to leave, we'll break down, it's like the sword and the stone, right? For years, everyone's going to try to take the sword out of the stone, but until it's time to leave, Yosef's body is not going to be moved. So these indicate that he's not actually buried, and it wasn't a big mystery. Just, they needed to remember to do it. Everybody knew where Yosef was. It's not a big mystery. Hamik Davar is the Netziv. He says, they mummified him, embalmed him, whatever, so that his body wouldn't get gross. and he was placed in a box in Egypt. Lo kavro so. When the Shemayim was says Siba Kadesh Shakira, I would say some Mitzrayim. Kach Kosev Asfarno. He says this is not really a big mystery, folks. It's not like Moshe needed to look around for 3 days, 3 nights, whatever. River, rise, Yosef, come on. It was there. And everybody knew about it. Okay, that's one mahalach. And you see, you have a number of Mefarshim who are going that route. The Baal Turim, the Nile, says that he was put in the Nile. Vayisem Baron Kadesh Yematsu Lam would say Samisham, Vayisem Baron Benilus, Yosef Begamatria Nilus. Okay, there you go, that's classic Baal Turim. That the numerical value of the word Yosef is the same numerical value as the word Nilus, Nile. So you want to do the math? Yosef is 10, 16, and 80. I'm sorry, and 80 and 60. The 80 and 60 is 140, plus another 15, 16, 156. Right? Nilus is
156.
Okay, so there you go. Rabbeinu B'chaye tells us Yosef covered Yaakov Aviv, Kibal Scharo, Bamisha Golda Mishneh, Moshe Rabbeinu Al-Basham. Right? Yosef buried his father and got reward, but who's greater even? Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe went to great lengths in order to find Yosef, and describes Moshe had to throw this thing in the water, which says, Alishur, Alishur. Right? Yosef is described by Yaakov with the brachos to him as Ben Paras, Yosef Ben Paras, Alain, and Banos. Tzados Ali Shur. And so there's this idea that Yosef was compared to an ox. So that's how Moshe got Yosef to rise by putting some incantation into the water. Okay, we saw this midrash in this way, and the rest of this describes how Moshe gets the merit in terms of the efforts which he made in order to get Yosef buried. Okay, conclude this. I had prepared this class a while ago. I think this is from an article that I wrote. That if Yosef, because the question is, if, you know, most of the question that I had asked at the time was, if the last pasuk in every book is a climactic, right? These are this is the Torah, this is the Mishkan, these are the different ways in which the books end. This one seems a little anticlimactic, right? Yosef dies and he's put in a box. End of a story, but is there a hope for the future? And of course the answer is there is a hope for the future. Why? Because there's an Aron, and the Aron is promised that this is one day going to be buried in Israel. So if Yosef is buried and hidden away, what's the point of his promise? The chances are he will be forgotten. Some argue that Egyptians placed Yosef in the river so his descendants would not find him, but what is stopping us from suggesting the brothers made, in line with Egyptian custom, a monument or a crypt in which Yosef's remains stand unburied as a reminder of his promise to the Jewish people. For a people who are about to fall into the depravity of Egypt, a culture from which the rabbis teach us they were only saved because they kept small parts of their heritage, such as their names, language, certain secrets, and were not gossipers nor steeped in Egyptian immorality, Yosef's remains might stand as a mainstay, as a reminder of what it means to live in Egypt as a Jew. Yosef did it by himself, with no familiar support, for 22 years. And as the Jews eventually do become idolaters, steeped in many Egyptian immorals, Yosef's remains would be the ultimate reminder of what it means to be a wanderer who is not home, a stranger who has a better future in a different land. And so, I mean, again, where was Yosef? Answer is, we don't know. Okay, but here, I find it a little more, at least in line with the text of the Chumash, a little more compelling. I don't think for even half a second that Moshe Rabbeinu worrying himself over taking Yosef's bones out takes away from any credit that he gets if he had to find 3 days and three nights and figure out how to get him out of the Nile, versus if he just said, you guys get your silver and gold, I'm taking care of business. Okay, I don't think it takes away from Moshe's credit. No. So Lifum Tsara Agra, okay, but what if the Tsara was minimum? You didn't have to make such a crazy effort. Okay, so that's fine. It's fine. It's still to Moshe's credit that he's not looking for silver and gold, instead he's looking for Yosef's bones. But I like the idea very much that Vayisa and Baron Mitzrayim is that they knew where Yosef was. They can look to his and if that archaeological evidence, which I mentioned before, again, I'm not sure if I wish I remembered if it was in Patterns of Evidence, because it could have been, or if it was in, I think it was in Patterns of Evidence. The Patterns of Evidence, by the way, just came out with a new film, which I didn't get to see. They just showed it in select theaters last month, but I'd like to see it. It was about Moshe. You know, they wanted to show, you know, evidence for Moshe's existence. Okay. Anyway, it's Christian people, but that's the only people who can pull this kind of stuff off. So we got to take what they do, because they really it's amazing. Anyway, but the point being that I do find the idea that they knew where Yosef was buried to be extremely compelling, and that they could look to him and say, you know what, slavery stinks, but Yosef left us with a promise, and there he is. And when the time comes, we're going to make sure, in one way or another, that he comes out with us. And it's to Moshe's credit that he followed through with that promise.
The whole story of Moshe coming to the Jews and everything, there's no mention of Yosef, the Pakod Yivkod, you know.
Yes, there is. Yes, there is. It's at the burning bush. No?
He doesn't say that to the Jews anywhere, does he?
Hold on. No, it's not spelled out directly. However, hold on a second. Yeah. Moshe is told, Lech v'yasaf tazignei Yisrael, it's on page 304 in Chamishi, first pasuk in Chamishi, in Shmos. Lech v'yasaf tazignei Yisrael, v'yamarta lehem, Hashem elokei avosichem, nira elai, Hashem, the God of your fathers, has appeared to me, Elohei Avraham Yitzchak v'yakov lemor, God of Abraham and Yaakov, saying, "Pakod pakadati eschem v'esasu lechem mitzrayim." I mean, that's Yosef's language,
yeah.
Right? Pakod pakadati eschem. So, Omaris, and I'm saying, "Ale eschem yoni mitzrayim alar tzakanani." So, this is the script that God gives to Moshe to say, and I'm saying that we're now going to be coming out. And so, when Moshe gets there, when Moshe does get to Egypt, so the pasuk says, "Yeah." Go now. Turn to page 312. It's the end of Perek Dalet. Okay. Pasuk Chavtes. Vayelech Moshe ve'Aaron. Moshe and Aaron went. Vayasfu es kol zognei bnei Israel. They gathered all the elders of Israel. Vaydeber Aaron es kol dvar Moshe diber Hashem Moshe. There you go. That's where it is. It's not told. It doesn't repeat the entire conversation, but it says that Aaron told to the Zekanim everything that God told to Moshe. And he did the signs. What are the signs? Staff turns into a nachash. Hand turns into tzara'as. Water on the ground from the Nile turns into blood. So the Torah doesn't spell it out, but it tells us that it happened. So there you go. So Moshe knew that this was part of his mission, to defeat Paro and Pakod Pakarati, which is the promise to take Yosef out. He had a bit of an education there at the burning bush. Because, you know, how do we know that he knew all this stuff beforehand? The answer is, we can very likely assume he didn't know all this stuff. He didn't have that. He didn't grow up that way. He grew up in the palace of the king.
Yeah.
So even though
Yosef, according to the people who say he was buried in the Nile, so there was no bracha. It still turned into blood after the first plague.
Right. Right. So that, you know, that's a kasha on a maisa. Exactly. It's a good question. So, just in terms of Moshe, and this is a good segue into next week, because next week's class, which is the last one of the series, is about Moshe Rabbeinu and about Moshe's, I'm going to call it his fast-forwarded training process. So this is a small little hint of that Moshe just learned the whole history at the burning bush. He got everything there. That was his training ground, because otherwise, where would he know all this stuff from? So,
and where were Yosef's brothers buried? We don't know.
We don't know, but we have a tradition that they too were at that Yosef's brothers' bones were also at the splitting of the sea, because there's a Gemara Makos which talks about this, about some of their bones rattling. I think Yehuda's bones, I think, were rattling. That's what it says. And how did Yehuda's bones stop rattling? Because Moshe said, hey, he gave the merit that caused Reuben to do tshuva. So anyway, there's a tradition that they were all there, but Yosef's the one that we make the big bones about, pun intended, because he's the one who the promise was made to. All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you.